Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fenside with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. The Dolphins with a massive victory here yesterday over the Cleveland Browns, 39-17. Biggest win of the year, biggest margin of the year, taking down a Browns team that was coming off a big victory against the Bengals, complete victory. And this was not something that at the end of the game, yeah, the Dolphins win, but you know, we've got a lot of question marks about the game. Tua was on fire. The running game was on fire. Offensive line was phenomenal. Defensively, after the first couple of minutes of the game, really pulled it together. Paul, yeah, I mean, nothing more to say than just a complete team victory.
Yeah, I still haven't figured out who I'm going to throw on the Coke bus this week, to be honest with you. Like, there was a reemergence of a few players, a few guys stepping up. Mr. Wilson Jr. really looking like that guy I told our fans that he was. As good as Bradley Chubb is, Wilson and Mostert together really seem to be making this work. And this offensive line with Shell and Jones in the lineup was devastating at times in this one. I mean, Myles Garrett, there are multiple plays I remember seeing him not just get pancaked, but go airborne and, you know, or start to beat somebody and get his clock cleaned. And that's not a little guy. That's not a slouch of a pass rusher. So, no, to the running lanes, everything. Like, it's, wow, what a day. Ooh, that's a good point, Dotus. I got my Coke bus guy.
I go immediately to the offensive line. I would say one of the most dominant offensive line performances from the Miami Dolphins that I can remember in a long time. Nothing really comes to mind that I could compare it to. I mean, you'd have to go back to the 2001 Lamar Smith game against the Colts in the playoffs, their last playoff win. I mean, I would have to go back that far. Teron Armstead was phenomenal. Connor Williams and Robert Hunt in the onside dominating all day. And yeah, Robert Jones has been an upgrade over Liam Eikenberg, and Austin Jackson or Brandon Shell has been an upgrade over Austin Jackson.
Yeah. And look, I understand Austin Jackson was a first round pick, but you got to go with what works. Like, just because you're a first round pick, it gets you the extra look. Just because you got that first round money, it gets you the extra look. But if somebody is outperforming you, guess what? That should be their job, period.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as what the offensive line did, Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert combined for 7.4 yards a carry on 25 attempts. They just could not be stopped. Every time they got the ball, it was 5, 6, 7 yards before they were even touched. And then Tua, in 36 dropbacks, did not get sacked. The Browns had one sack, but that was on Cedric Wilson.
That doesn't really count.
That doesn't count. You're right. It shouldn't count. 36 dropbacks from Tua, no sacks allowed, and zero quarterback hits in 36 attempts. Again, just a dominant defensive game. And yeah, you go up against Myles Garrett, and yeah, Teron Armstead held him at bay. And even when Myles Garrett wasn't going up against Armstead and he was going up against Brandon Shell, the Dolphins did an effective job of making sure that Garrett not only didn't take over the game, but was completely silent. Zero sacks, zero tackles.
He had one tackle.
Did he?
Yeah. I barely, like, it's
no, zero sacks, zero quarterback hits, zero pressures, I believe.
Yeah. And it's funny because the Dolphins threw up 30 plus points for the third straight week with this offense. Tua is nominated for the FedEx Air Player of the Week, possibly for a third straight week. You see guys like Chris Sims and Keyshawn Johnson and all the guys that detracted Tua suddenly starting the backpedal. And, Are the Bills in third in the AFC East right now?
A nice little cherry on top of that Sunday there on Sunday. What a great day overall. Oh, and
like Melissa Milano said, I believe they're in third.
And over over off to my left here, the Commanders are beating the Philadelphia Eagles here, about to go up two scores, meaning the Miami Dolphins would be the only undefeated team in NFL history. We could cap off an even better week with that. But we'll get back to the game here.
I do want to bring up one interesting fact right now, because it's something I saw this morning. If the season were to end today, the entirety of the AFC East is in the playoffs.
That's crazy.
The Pats would be the 7th seed. Miami would be the 2 seed.
Because the Chargers lost. Yeah.
Yep. The Jets and the Chargers would be the 8. No, never mind. I'm totally retarded here. But yeah, the Jets and Bills would be in between the two of them. And how crazy is that? Miami would be the 2 seed, and the rest of the AFC East would take all the wild card spots.
That would be nuts. And next week, the Jets play the Patriots. So one of them is going to lose that game. But Dolphins are 7. You always hope for that. The Jets and Patriots play next week. The Dolphins are going to have their bye week, and then they come back and they play the Houston Texans. So as the season currently stands right now, I did a playoff playoff calculator on for New York Times here. The Dolphins' current odds of making the playoffs are at 78%. If they beat the Texans next week, that goes up to about 85, and they're 8-3. And then the following week, they play the 49ers. They win that game, you're talking about close to 95%. So things are exciting right now. Most importantly, the Dolphins are the number 2 seed in the AFC. And they would have a home playoff game, and they are really going to have an opportunity here when they play the Buffalo Bills in about a month to officially plant their flag here in the AFC East.
Yeah, and it's with the way Miami's offense is rolling right now, with 2 weeks to plan for it, and that abysmal Texans defense right now, holy crap, that could be a fun game to watch in 2 weeks. But I don't want to detract from this 39-17 whooping. I'm trying to remember. What did I say? 37-17?
Was that what I said? You were pretty close. I know it was 30 something to less than 20.
I think it was 35-17. I said. So
35. Yeah, that's correct. That sounds right. So you were pretty darn good. I said 24-21. Thought it was going to be a really close game with that. No. And taking a look at this game, Paul. It didn't get off to a great start. The first two play, we're 30 seconds into the game, and the Browns have the ball in the Dolphins' 15-yard line after a kick return by Jerome Ford to the 47, and then play action. Donovan Peoples-Jones goes down the field against Kader Coe, who otherwise had a great game, and comes down with a big catch. But other than that, after that really first series for the Browns, they couldn't get anything else going offensively. And then the Dolphins were able to pin their ears back defensively with Jalen Phillips, with Bradley Chubb, and took over the game. And it should be a lesson here, and it should be a motivational factor for the Dolphins, that if you get that lead early defensively, now you've got Phillips and Chubb on the edge. You can pin their ears. They can pin their ears back, and they can get to the quarterback.
That sounds really familiar, doesn't it? Does it sound familiar?
Who are you talking to?
You and everybody in the chat room.
Okay.
Because wasn't that the key to the game that I gave for this pregame? Was get those couple early scores against the Browns, get that lead, and just pin your ears back and F and go. Yes. I love that, it.
That's your strategy every week. So
yeah.
It doesn't really count.
Kick their ass.
I'm just kidding. But it was great to see that. And what I love defensively too is it was 10-7 in the second quarter. And there was that play that Brissett dropped back and just got mauled from every direction. But on that play, you had Bradley Chubb and Melvin Ingram lining up on the outside. You had Jalen Phillips and Christian Wilkins on the inside, and they just pinned their ears back and got to the quarterback. Loved it. Pass rush was there all day.
Christian Wilkins was an animal.
Yeah, he was. He absolutely was. And Zach Sealer makes, in my opinion, the turning play of the game where, you know, the Browns march right down the field. They score, make it 7-0. Dolphins answer right back. Then the Browns are marching down the field and are putting together first down after first down. Browns have the ball at the Dolphins 35-yard line. Nick Chubb takes the handoff, and Zach Sealer comes in from the backside and strips Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb has not lost a fumble since week one of the 2021 season. 350 plus carries since he's lost a fumble. Fumbled here. And not only the fumble, but the Dolphins shut down the Browns running game. When Nick Chubb had that 33-yard touchdown with 13 minutes left in the game in junk time, the Dolphins were holding Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt 16 carries, 39 yards, and a fumble. Less than 2.5 yards a carry. Kudos to this defensive line.
You know, we played a big part in that too, not just the D-line here. Now, Landon Roberts got lucky that Stefanski called a timeout literally right before he jumped off sides early in the game. But the linebacker play in this one, I'm going to piss some people off with this. Jerome Baker woke back up a little bit in this one, I felt like. I know he had a BS interference penalty. It is what it is. But he made a lot of really good plays today. And I'm starting to think what Miami needs to do is have a meeting with Jerome in sometime in August and basically just tell him, hey, look, we're going to put you on IR till around week 9 or 10. You don't do anything the first half of the season. But yeah, once really week 9 or 10 roll around, you start waking up, and then you start doing things like getting AFC Defensive Player of the Month for the month of December last year. Sacking Pat Mahomes for a 40-yard loss, you know, things like that, that impact the game and show you why you tolerate the first 8 weeks of the season or so. But he looked good in this one. He looked really good. He made a lot of big plays.
See, I think Baker does a lot more unseen traffic cop type of things at the middle linebacker spot, but he hasn't made a lot of plays this year. But he made a big one in this game here where again, I think the Dolphins are only up by 3 points at the time in the first half. It's 3rd and 1. Kareem Hunt gets the handoff and Jerome Baker on a blitz comes in, stuffs him, makes it 4th and 3. And then the next play, Jacoby Brissett throws an incomplete pass. Dolphins get the ball. They score. They go up 17-7. Then 24-7, and the rest is history. So those big plays, I mean, to me, those are just about the same as turnovers. I mean, they really are. They're turnover and downs. I mean,
well, you know, Baker and Roberts both had similar plays like that. It's early in the game. I believe it was the second time the Browns had the ball. It was Nick Chubb, who is not a dainty running back by any stretch of the imagination, got absolutely decked by a Landon Roberts.
Yes, he did. And Roberts has those enough of this BS type of hits that he just lights up a dude. Again, still not the greatest guy in coverage, but
when he guesses right, it's a beautiful thing.
And he has guessed right a lot this year. This is far and away his best season for the Dolphins. He had a lot more, in my opinion, bad than good over the last couple of years, especially in coverage. I'm not seeing that this year. I'm seeing a lot more of him being the teeth of that run defense, and what he did against Nick Chubb certainly put the exclamation point on that.
Well, another thing to add too, since we talked about the linebackers and the D line, I know we're going to dive all over the place and we haven't talked much about the offense too much yet. But really, I got to give some kudos to Justin Bethel and my guy, Kader Kohou, in that secondary. After Kader Kohou allowed that early completion to Donovan Peoples-Jones, he was lights out the rest of the way. He made some beautiful plays, some frustrating plays, plays that had Browns receivers getting upset as all get out. And then you saw Justin Bethel. I think he had 2 passes defensed officially. And he was all over the field as well. So kudos to the secondary, man. Like, God, you look all over this defense, all over this team. And there was a point after Emmanuel Ogba went down that I was looking at the field and I was just thinking to myself, all right, so Emmanuel Ogba might be going to IR. Trey Flowers is on IR. And we still have Melvin Ingram. We still have Chubb
Phillips, still have Andrew Jalen Van Phillips. Ginkle.
Like, we good Christ. I can't remember having a more talented roster top to bottom than this.
Yeah, it's still extremely deep there at the edge rusher spot. And yeah, Ogba is going to miss the rest of the year in what can only be described as just a tormenting season for him. I mean, he got hurt early. He has not been himself. He went from somebody who batted down, 12 passes last year to, I think he has one or two this year. It's been bad. And so I hope he comes back strong next year. I got to look at his contract details a little bit more, but he's been lapped here by the Dolphins here. We'll see what happens. Justin Bethel, you're right, it's been phenomenal. I think in the slot, somebody who's barely played the cornerback position, a career special teamer, all over the place. Just great work in the slot. There hasn't been much of a drop off from Nick Needham, and Needham's a great nickelback. So, that's for sure. Noah Igbinoghene, healthy scratch. Yikes.
I mean, well, you know who did about as much as Noah Igbinoghene yesterday? Thomas Morstead.
Thomas Morstead may get my Coke Bus Player of the Game because, I look at that yards per punt, 0.0. That's not very good.
That's the Bluto Blutarski score of punting. Like, let's.
No, man, no punts. That is the ultimate compliment for the offense. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the offense here, Paul, I was looking at some numbers here today. So on the season, Tua has a 71% completion percentage. He's 176 for 248. Here's another thing, too. The Dolphins lead the NFL in drop passes with 20. Now, that's not a shot at the receivers. But the reason I'm pointing that out is you're telling me over 79% of the time, Tua is hitting his receivers in the hands. That's crazy.
And he has an insane completion percentage on top. Yeah.
He was, three games in a row, he's been sensational. And I've said it once, I've said it a million times. When Tua plants his feet, arm strength is never an issue with him.
But you know what? There was a great breakdown by Emmanuel Acho where he was showing one where there was a little bit of pressure on Tua. And he threw off his back foot and he threw an absolute dime with some velocity on it to hit Tyreek Hill inbounds by the sideline where only Tyreek could have gotten it in coverage. When he plants his front foot, but on top of that, he's rebuilt that strength. I got to give a shout out to Nick Hicks for this with Perform. Like, he's really built up that strength in that arm and that upper body for those moments when he's not able to get those feet planted too, to retain his accuracy and be able to get the ball there.
Right. And I look at that and I didn't see a cannon being thrown, but what I saw was great anticipation, and he is playing with such incredible anticipation. And I laugh at what JC Jackson said last year now, that Tua just looks at his first read, and if it's not there, he throws the ball up.
Did you see who PFF graded as our highest graded player on the team?
Alec Ingold, very well deserved.
Fullback Alec Ingold, let's go.
Very, very well deserved. I'll get to him in a second. But when it comes to Tua, I saw just three or four just elite throws. I mean, that touchdown to Trent Sherfield in the left corner of the end zone, man, that's a beauty. I mean, that's something. That's the only place you can put it. Put the Dolphins up 17-7. That sideline, just like 10-yard pass to Jalen Waddle, just had to be in that exact spot. And there, another, early pass to Trent Sherfield had to be in that exact spot. So he's just quarterback rating of over 118 on the air right now. Just great, great stuff. But yeah, his first touchdown to Alec Ingold. You could be looking at another player walking easily into a Pro Bowl berth there at the fullback spot. I mean, four catches, 45 yards. What a beauty of a pass too from Tua, where he fakes the pass out wide, pulls it down, and then just chucks it to Ingold, who tucks it down and dives over the pylon, 16-yard touchdown. And at the end, you must have loved too, where Skylar Thompson gets in the game, throws one pass, and it's to Alec Ingold. So he blocks well. He moves around. He's somebody that at the fullback spot, other teams legitimately have to worry about as a mismatch piece. And I think that's important too, because you don't see a fullback like that every week.
No, and on top of the mismatch piece, he also can come up and tattoo somebody like an extra lineman, which is pretty cool to see, because there were a couple of times yesterday he absolutely annihilated a Browns defender, whether it was in the pass or the run game.
Yeah, I think Alec Ingold right now is the best fullback in the NFL this side of Kyle Juszczyk. And I can't even say with a straight face, Juszczyk is significantly better than him right now. I think Ingold is maybe not quite as powerful, but he can move. He can move. At the running back spot, yeah, Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert, we talked about. Jeff Wilson is exactly what the Dolphins wanted Daniel Thomas to be 10 years ago. He's big. He's long. He runs angry. And he actually breaks tackles.
And he actually has some speed, unlike Daniel Thomas, whether it was Daniel Thomas when he was here the first time or when he came back with that fake mustache and tried to make you forget who he was.
Yeah, didn't he switch numbers too? He was 33 at
the beginning. Like, oh no, that was the other Daniel Thomas. That's different Daniel Thomas now.
Thomas looked like he was lugging tires when he got the handoff.
I want the same announcer to call Daniel Thomas's name as I want to call Daniel Falele's name in every Ravens game.
Yeah, you won't hear anything. That's a name from the past I'd like to forget. But yeah, let's go position by position. I mean, quarterback to 25 for 32. You combine it with Skylar Thompson, you got 26 for 33, over 300 yards passing. I'll throw it to you first.
This is a pretty easy one. Tua is about to get named the FedEx Air Player of the Week for the third week in a row. After missing 3 weeks here, two-thirds of the way through the season, he's about to have a third of the season as the FedEx Air Player of the Week. It's got to be an A+. Like, he's third straight week of three touchdowns, no interceptions. His QBR is going through the roof right now. He's not throwing interceptions. He's throwing touchdown passes left, right, and center. He's leading the team. He's got some swagger. He's a big part of the momentum that this team has. He hit eight different targets, I think, yesterday. He's spreading the ball all over the field. It doesn't matter who you are. He's going to get you a score. Let's go. A+.
I've got to join you on that. And I think I gave him either an A or an A- last week after the Bears game, because I mean, sensational game against the Bears too. Missed a couple of throws, missed that long throw to Waddle. I can't really recall him missing any throws at all in this game. So when you put 39 points on the board, which should have been 41, thanks Jason Sanders, and you win a game this convincingly, yeah, it's an A+. And I'm also I'm not going to quite go an A+ because I don't want to be throwing them all around, but I'm going to give an A to the running backs. Let's do A+ too. I mean, what more can you ask for? 7.4 yards a carry between Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson. Now on the season, both of them have carried the ball exactly 118 times, and Mostert's averaging 4.6 yards a carry. Jeff Wilson's averaging 5.4. You do the math combined, you're looking at 5 yards a carry. The Dolphins not only have two of the top four receivers, but they've got a pair of running backs that on 236 attempts are averaging 5 yards a carry. That's impressive, and it's exciting.
The Browns had 2 weeks to prepare, and Raheem Mostert went 8 for 65 for an 8.1 yard average and a touchdown. Jeff Wilson went 17 for 119 for a 7 yard average and a touchdown. Freaking Alec Ingold, 4 receptions, 45 yards, 11.3 yards per reception and a touchdown.
Savon Ahmed,
everybody. Like, it's easy A plus. I hate to do it to you, but it's easy A plus for me on that one.
Yes,
they literally covered all facets of the game with three different dudes.
That's right. Savon Ahmed even got on the field. 3 carries, 11 yards.
He got almost 4 yards per carry.
Almost 4 yards per carry.
Good for him.
You sure did. At receiver, what I loved in this game, Paul, was, I mean, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle obviously still made their presence felt. Waddle, 4 catches, 66 yards. Hill, 5 for 44, which seemed like a lot more. He had the touchdown that really put the game away. He also had that one catch where he reversed field and got into field goal range that put the Dolphins up 3 scores. But overall between them, only 110 yards. But what I loved about it is because the Browns were so focused on him, you have Trent Sherfield with a 63-yard game. You have Alec Ingold, 45 yards receiving. Mike Gesicki with 2 big catches for 31 yards. So, hey, if you want to cover Tyreek Hill and you want to cover Jaylen Waddle, that's fine. But we're going to have Tua deal and deal effectively with one-on-one coverage throughout the rest of the field. So not a gaudy numbers game, but, hey, I mean, just a solid overall performance here from the receivers and tight ends. I'll go with an A minus.
I'm going to go with an A here. Nobody had a flashy game. Trent Sherfield rose above and beyond expectations, partly because we're so used to seeing it be the Hill and Waddle show. A couple mistakes by Sed Wilson. He needs to get involved or get out. But at the same time, it's Trent Sherfield's doing his best impression of a wish version of Jarvis Landry at this point in time. And I'm good with that. Like, 3 touchdowns, though, that's the big one for me here that keeps it a solid A. It's all the yardage in the world doesn't matter if you can't find the end zone. And Miami found the end zone with Sherfield. I'm counting Ingold in that. But with Sherfield and Hill in this one, they found a way to get Tyreek involved in the red zone. And they really did a good job of being on the same page with the quarterback repeatedly throughout this game. And let's face it, we had a huge lead. We didn't throw as much in this one. We were running all over them with Wilson and Mostert.
Yeah, I mean, Tua threw the ball 35 times, 285 mm-hmm. yards. Nothing crazy. This wasn't a shootout. I mean, the Dolphins were comfortably ahead. They didn't have to just bomb the ball downfield. No doubt about it. Sherfield, I'm liking more and more. And one just very underrated part of his game, too. He is such a good blocker at receiver. And that allows the Dolphins to give these looks where he can seal off the back edge.
Yeah.
So you've got that. And then you've got also Alec Ingold out there, you know, and it they can keep things unpredictable on those wide zone stretch runs. So yeah, I'm really impressed. I mean, offensive line, we talked about it too. And again, I only give A pluses for historically good performances that we haven't seen in a while. We haven't seen, I mean, Tua with a flawless game gets an A plus. Jeff Wilson and Mostert, 7.5 yards a carry. You don't see that every day. Offensive line gets an A plus too. I mean, again, Tua, 36 dropbacks, no sacks, just a couple of hurries and 0 quarterback hits. He wasn't sacked. He wasn't hit in the entire football game. What more can you say? And then on run blocking, 7.4 yards a carry. Incredible. Robert Jones, when I rewatched the game, I gained just so much more respect for him, how he's settling in at the left guard spot. Brandon Shell is somebody who easily could let this game get away from him when Myles Garrett lined up against him. He rose up to every single challenge. So you can't say much more about this offensive line.
There was one point where Myles Garrett put a hell of a spin move on Brandon Shell and did what Myles Garrett does and started to come off of Brandon Shell. and Robert Hunt spotted it immediately and decked the living hell out of Myles Garrett, put him in the ground, not on the ground, in the ground, and just annihilated him. And you can't tell me that a pass rusher like Myles Garrett, who's not used to getting put on the ground, period, getting decked repeatedly yesterday, getting tossed around like a little baby by Teron Armstead, and then getting decked by, like, literally, like, all right, I finally beat him, I'm going to get the pay dirt, and getting absolutely annihilated by Robert Hunt. A+.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
easily.
He and Connor Williams together are beautiful to watch when they get going.
The size of those running lanes, you could drive my Jeep through. Good Lord.
Defensive side of the ball, Paul. I'll throw it to you first on the defensive line.
Man, you're letting me be the one to take the brunt on these on these big grades here. But Christian Wilkins had probably one of the best games he's had as a Dolphin. Was in on multiple sacks, adding up to one. Bradley Chubb coming off the edge. I know he's a linebacker, but he was lining up right up there. Jalen Phillips had a great day. Melvin Ingram, I'm going to count him right up there in that front four. You know, and like, there were big plays from everybody up front. Like, Zach Sealer. I have to go with another A+ here. Like, they shut down one of the best running games in the NFL. They got to pay dirt against Jacoby Brissett. They forced a fumble that changed the momentum, as you pointed out. Like, what more can you ask for, really, from a front seven?
Yeah, it was a great performance. Was it historic? Probably not. So I'm going to stay with an A. But Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb on the outside, man, when they can pin their ears back, it looks pretty. And I've got to say, as impressive as they were, Melvin Ingram, I think, was better. And, I mean, you look at that one sack where, you know, three or four of them met at the quarterback, man, he took Jack Conklin and he just pushed. This is a big dude. I expect him to be beaten with speed, but with power from Melvin Ingram, man, it was impressive.
I didn't realize with Melvin Ingram just how jacked and powerful and compact he is as a dude. Like, you see him and he's like one big muscle now. Like,
yeah,
but he's still got speed. And he's
squatty. He's a squatty dude.
He's built for leverage, dude. Like,
yep. Yeah. I mean, and it's crazy that he just sat out there for, you know, consecutive seasons until August. Maybe just didn't want to go to training camp. I don't know, but it seems like he and the Dolphins were flirting for a year and a half, and finally they signed him, and he's been absolutely everything that they expected him to be. Linebackers, we talked about Jerome Baker with the big stop. We talked about Landon Roberts. They were every bit as responsible as the defensive line for what they were doing to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And I can't get over, you know, Nick Chubb heading into this game, 848 yards rushing. In eight games, five 100-yard games. And then he comes in here to Miami against a run defense that against running backs has been fantastic. They were again in this game. Yeah, they let up the 33-yard run, but the game was already out of hand at that point. The linebackers, I mean, I'm going to go with an A- for them.
I'm going with an A for them. They had a lot of big key critical stops in this game. I actually thought Baker did well overall in coverage. The reemergence of Jerome Baker, the continued good play of Landon Roberts. And like you said, with the run game, anytime you hold a running game that consists of Kareem Hunt and Chubb, you to that, and not counting that 33-yard garbage time run against a loose defense that's playing the pass at that point, easy A, even with a couple of mistakes rolled in there.
Yeah, I mean, after the whole defense played fantastic after the first drive, and you know, you held. I don't care if it's the Browns or not. The Browns are averaging 25 points a game, so they're not somebody that you know, offensively just crap the bed all the time. You know, they've been productive, and this is one of the best running teams in the NFL that did not do that here against the Dolphins. Secondary. A couple of early plays led up to Donovan Peoples-Jones. You had the two long passes to him, but I really felt that Brissett had to put the ball in the perfect spot for those to be completed. Justin Bethel, great game. Xavien Howard looked definitely got the better of his matchup when he was lined up against Amari Cooper. Javon Holland, kind of quiet the last couple of weeks. Ever since he lost Brandon Jones, it's kind of like he lost the yin to his yang here. So, you know, I'm looking for him.
Don't you be talking about Javon Holland's yang.
Yeah. I'm looking for Javon Holland now to be making some plays here over the next couple of weeks. And at the other safety spot, you know, they're trying to get as much as they can out of Ron McKinley and Elijah Campbell. I thought other than a missed tackle or two, they held up very well. Jacoby Brissett in this game started out 10 for 12 for 103 yards and a touchdown. Then after about midway through the second quarter, he finishes 12 for 23, barely 100 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions the rest of the game. So the defense, the secondary really pulled it together. They did let up a few passes. I'll go with a B+.
After Jacoby Brissett started strong, the Dolphins limited him for the game to a 57.4 QBR, which that tells you how well they responded. The secondary, while it was a little bit of a quiet day for Xavien Howard, who got in on a few tackles and, you know, a few other things, Javon Holland, Kader Kohou, Elijah Campbell, and Justin Bethel combined had six passes defensed in this one.
And wow,
it's looking at that, looking at, you know, there was that early completion for I forget exactly how many yards to Peoples-Jones over Kader Kohou. Kader Kohou shut him down. Kader Kohou, I think, graded out at about a 91 with PFF, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think it was a little bit lower than that, but it was, I think it was set in the high 70s, but that's still a good grade. And
I thought he wasn't far from 90, so it couldn't have been high 70s, I don't think, but I could be wrong.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, the number of passes defense, the fact that they were going against some very good receivers for the Browns. And while three sacks and 14 quarterback hits probably factored into some of the passes being chucked up, that's still a really good stat line for those three alone to have six passes defensed in this one. I can go with an A for these guys, even though it was a rocky start. I really can, like, because they were a huge part as well with the way they were frustrating Brissett and allowing the Dolphins front seven to get the pay dirt.
Yeah, I am really what I like about the Chubb trade now is that I feel like the Dolphins are saying to themselves, you know what, you're against our secondary, you're going to throw for some yards because we're too beat up back there. But if we are even up a touchdown against you, we're going to pin our ears back and we're going to get to the quarterback. And if you want to try to block Melvin Ingram, Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer,
good luck.
Good luck when it comes with a lead. And I think the Dolphins feel confident they're going to win most of those types of games. And I think they will. And that's exciting. Special teams, Paul. Jason Sanders, two missed extra points. Thank God. It was not in a different game. And look, I'm getting impatient with Jason Sanders. I'm not ready to throw him overboard yet because I just don't think there are very many good kickers out there that you can sign right now. I think it would take, if they were to do that, any kicker that came in here would be here for 2 weeks and you'd think, okay, maybe Sanders wasn't all that bad. But two missed extra points this week, a 29-yard field goal missed last week against the Bears. If things go from bad to worse, then I'm Yeah, I might start getting on that train as well. Thomas Morstead had zero punts and took a nap. Good for you, pal. And you know, you also had on the first play of the game, the long kick return from Jerome Ford. I blame Trent Sherfield more for that, for losing containment on that play. So, you know, you always weigh the pluses and the minuses when it comes to special teams. A little more minuses this week here. I'm going to go with a D plus.
Yeah. I mean, outside of the 48 yard return on kick returns, Jerome Ford, I think, averaged what? Probably almost 25 yards a kick return, which is not great or ideal. And that's after the 48 yard return. They didn't have any punt returns, so can't judge that. No punts. Mostert looked decent on kickoff returns. Cedric Wilson looks like buttered ass returning punts as usual. And then Jason Sanders, while you may not be ready to throw him on the scrap heap at this point, I kind of am. Like,
I don't blame you. I don't blame anyone in our chat either. I don't.
It's one thing to be missing 40 plus yard field goals occasionally. I can stomach that. You know, you kick the ball off what, seven times or eight times in this one, and only five of those went for touchbacks. So you're not putting it out of the end zone as reliably anymore. You're missing two extra points. Like,
yeah,
I kind of want to go Denny Green after the Chicago Bears game when the Bears came back, just saying that. Like, I want to snap and start throwing things and pounding the table. And in a season where Miami's putting together something magical and elite, you can't have a kicker missing extra points. You cannot have a kicker missing extra points. You can't have a kicker. Like, we questioned a couple of times where Mike McDaniel didn't go for the field goal. You know what? Go with what you believe in. And right now, that ain't Sanders.
Yeah, I look at a couple of weeks ago what he had, back-to-back weeks where he hit three field goals each in each of those games. But that's really been the highlight of his season so far. And it's been a lot of bad. We'll see. I hope he responds, because I think he does have a good leg. But
he's missed three extra points on the year. His misses right now on field goals, one of them's from 20 to 29 yards out, and he's 0 for 3 on anything over 50 yards. Like, and he's not getting the touchbacks the way he was doing. Something's wrong. Get him medically checked, and if he's hurt, put him on IR and bring somebody in off the street. If he's not hurt, start trying people out.
Yeah, there's a lot in the negative column there. You know, the missed extra points, and I have to look at his last like 10 attempts of 50 plus yards. I'm pretty sure he's missed nine of them. I'm talking myself into it a little bit. I'll safely say I'm 1 week removed.
If our season is on the line, and we need him to make a kick, regardless of distance, do you have 90% or better faith he's going to make it?
He's got a big leg, and he's made some big kicks. And see, he hasn't been in a lot of clutch situations. But if you're missing extra points, I mean, dude, it's not just extra points. It'd be one thing if you went to Germany and played in that game, and you've got a messed up field, and you're slipping. This is 85 degrees in Miami at home for you. So, yeah, I don't know if I do or not.
And you go back to last season, 7 of 9 from 30 to 39 yards, 8 of 10 from 40 to 49 yards, 2 of 6 from 50 to 59 yards. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's not good enough right now. That's for sure. So, Paul, who's your player of the game? Who's your Coke Bus player of the game?
Coke Bus player, Jason Sanders. Like, on an elite roster. Like, he's had two abysmal seasons. And maybe abysmal is a stretch for this year, but three missed extra points 10 weeks into the year is not good. Yeah. Not good. And two of them were in this game. And I was willing to give him the time last year. I was willing to believe in him for a little while. I was willing to believe, like, okay, we got Thomas Morstead in here holding kicks for him. And Thomas Morstead's like a machine. He doesn't have break points. He just goes out and gets it done. I'm starting to think, if, you know, it's kind of like when your buddy keeps bringing girls home and they turn out to be crazy, maybe the problem's not them. Like,
all right, we get
Sanders
it.
Is my Coke bus player easily. And as far as my player of the game, you can't be nominated and have won 2 out of 3 so far at the time of this recording for the FedEx Air Player of the Week 3 times in a row, literally a third of the season to this point, and not be my player of the week on your third consecutive week of 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, leading the team, not taking sacks, getting the ball out, having tremendous accuracy in QBR, and not get my player of the game here, despite some really strong performances across the entirety of the offense and the defense.
Yeah. For my Coke bus player, I'm going to go, I mean, I hate to kick somebody when they're down, because you went with Sanders, who was going to be mine. I'm going Emmanuel Ogba. Just a really bad end to a really bad season for him. I was not looking good in the game before he got hurt. That's kind of been the theme the entire year. Rest up well, buddy, but not a good season for you. My player of the game, again, I'm trying to get away from the normal, you know, well, Hill or Waddle wouldn't have been a consideration anyway. Tua obviously could have been, but I'm going to take it a little bit of a different direction. I'm giving it to Zach Sealer. And the reason for it is, you look at against the Lions, the Dolphins allow 31 points. Against the Bears, they allow 32. The Browns come out on the first drive, punch them right in the mouth for 7. And then they're in field goal range about to score again. And then he gets Nick Chubb from the backside, forces that fumble. And when that play happened, the defense changed. And the entire complexion of the game changed, and the Browns never caught back up. I think that is that's a play that, if the Dolphins defense is going to get something going here in the second part of the year, that's the play I'm going to look back at and say that's when everything changed. So kudos to Zach Sealer for that. And I thought he had a very good game the rest of the game too. So flashier player, sure. I mean, I'm kind of embarrassed that neither one of us said Jeff Wilson, but oh well.
I mean, either of us could have said Jeff Wilson. Either of us could have said pretty much anyone along the offensive line. Either of us could have said Alec Ingold. Either of us could have said Christian Wilkins. Either of us could have said Justin Beffler, Kader Kohu. Either of us could have said Bradley Chubb or freaking help me out here.
With Jalen, Melvin Ingram, Phillips.
See how you got to go through multiple names there? Like,
I was thinking about
awesome.
I was thinking about giving it to in our chat. Somebody said here, William V said, give it to Brandon Shaw. I was thinking about that too, because he rose to the challenge, and you know, Myles Garrett going up against him certainly worried me heading into this game, and he rose to that challenge. I don't see any way Austin Jackson reclaims anything here throughout the rest of the year.
So Kat, real quick, I need to find out if you agree with me on something I said on our trade deadline special. Do you agree with me here? And you've made a ton of calls that I need to recant on, but this isn't really a recant because they're both playing great. But do you agree with me now about Jeff Wilson right now being the bigger pickup at the trade deadline?
No. Well, after 2 games, after 2 games, sure. But I don't think that's going to be the case the rest of the year. I mean, Jeff Wilson's a running back, and he's looked really good. Chubb was not much of a factor in the first week, and then he was more this week. Chubb is just such a solid player at a premier position. So, hey, you can't argue with what Wilson's done here over the last 2 weeks. So what do you have, 17 for 119 in this game, and then 9 for 51 last week and a receiving touchdown? I mean, he runs big and he runs angry. And what a hell of a pickup. Now, well, Jeff Wilson's like 11th in the NFL in rushing yards this year with 638. And if not for, you know, he basically spent 2 or 3 weeks with the 49ers, not touching the ball a lot because they had just gotten McCaffrey. So for a fifth round pick, man, that's something.
Yeah, no, I love the pickup. And while this offense was electric before they got him, the running game was struggling with the combination of Edmonds and Mostert, even though Mostert was starting to play well. And it just looks like a completely different offense that's clicking on all cylinders now that the run game is working too. Now that you see Wilson hit the design lanes that Edmonds was missing, he's not dropping the passes in the receiving game that we started to see from Edmonds at times. And I just, the way that that's helped kick this offense into another gear and really, really, really help everything out on that side of the ball, that's huge for me because this offense is starting to shape up into something special, and it's only 10 games into year one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, 5 yards a carry on 236 yard attempts this year. That's what Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert have combined for. Obviously, Wilson, a lot of that came with the 49ers, but still, same type of offense, same player, same type of production here. So we've got about 3.5 minutes left in the Eagles-Commanders game. Eagles are getting the ball back, down by 5. If the Commanders hold on for that win, they're in Philadelphia. It will be 50 years that the Dolphins are the only undefeated team in NFL history.
Yeah.
That's going to do it.
And I'll tell you, Commanders are a horrible team to lose to.
Yeah, yeah. Having that first loss to the Commanders and Taylor Heineke,
within your division, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. So we got a bye week next week. So between when you sit down at your Thanksgiving table, you're going to feel just as good about the Dolphins as you feel right now. And it's not, I can tell you this, Paul and I have done the show for almost 10 years now, and we've never been 7-3 at this point in the season. So that's going to do it for our breakdown of the Dolphins Browns matchup here, a 22 point victory for the Dolphins, complete dominant team effort. You can follow Paul and I on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. I'm Brian Kett, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it's on the Fin side.